Take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. 1 Samuel 16, then find verse number 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse number 15. Then why don't we stand for the reading of the Scripture? 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse number 15. Look back at me, if you will, please. The subject has been helping people. The Bible throughout it, there's just verse after verse and story after story of people being helped. Then the Bible has so many teachings about how you and I can behave, so we better help people. America could use a good dose of people caring about people. Boy, your country's messed up when everybody's concerned about themselves. What can I get for me? What's in it for me? Well, the Christian life isn't that way. It's about other people and others. Now, tonight, another subject, 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting with verse number 15, the Bible says this: Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. But our Lord, now command thy servant, which are before thee, to speak out, or seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Look back at me, if you will. Right there in verse number 18 is the subject of tonight. The sermon tonight is this: helping people by being prudent. Helping people by being prudent. Many of you have heard that word prudent, some have not. Most people have never heard an entire sermon on what it is to be prudent, but evidently it's a quality that's very important. That quality is being uplifted, exalted, emphasized here in this passage of Scripture. And so helping people by you and I learning this quality of prudence. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Meet with us. Spirit of God, take the truth delivered by a simple man, but Father, exalt the truth beyond the delivery boy. Make the truth tonight supernatural. Make it so that we learn and grow. Help us to be better dads and moms. Help us to be better husbands and wives, better Christians. Help us to be better young people and children to our parents, to our brothers, to our sisters, better Americans, because tonight we learn to help people by developing the quality of prudence in our life. Spirit of God, do the work, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. What we just read, Saul was the king. Saul had turned his back on the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and Saul had developed a bad attitude or a bad spirit because of it. Saul wanted someone to play some soothing music for him, and one of Saul's servants mentions one of Jesse's sons by the name of David. Of course, we've all heard of David, and they said, get David and let David come and help you, Saul. You're troubled, and David has the qualities that would help you through this difficult time. And then they describe to Saul what David was like. And listen to what they say. They said, first of all, he's an excellent musician. Said he was a mighty man, said he was a valiant man, said that he was a comely person. You say, what does that mean? He was likable. He was a likable person. And then it said, the Lord was with him. But one of the qualities that they attributed to David was he was prudent in matters. Now, all those qualities then were summed up when the servant said to Saul of David, "The Lord is with him." Now, let me explain. If you and I are going to have the Lord with us, we're going to have to come by way of the same qualities that they in the Bible had the Lord with them, which included in this teaching and in this passage of Scripture, prudence. You say, "I don't even know what prudence is." That's okay. You're about to find out. Now, this young man, David, is anointed then the next king. And prudence was one of the primary reasons why, which goes to tell you this. I believe that prudence provides promotion and from God. If you can learn to be prudent, you can be promoted. Remember, David was a harpist. He was a shepherd boy, but he had the quality of prudence, and he ends up being the king. Now, so young people, children, adults, I would guess this thing called prudence is important. It's something that we need to get. I think some of you have developed prudence. You didn't know what it was called, but you've got some prudence about you. But let me, in my own simple way, as usual, let me explain about how you and I can help people through the quality of prudence. Remember, David was going to help Saul, and the way he was doing it was partially through the quality of prudence. Now, number one, what is prudence? Let me read a verse to you. Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Now, I want you to remember there's a little difference in evil and sin. Evil is when other people are being pulled into it and someone's out to hurt someone. Sin is primarily when you hurt yourself. Now, they're in the same classification, if you will, but if evil's present, you're drawing other people into the bad and you're trying to hurt someone. Sin, you may go out in your backyard and sin by yourself in your backyard. Evil is a little more than that. The Bible said there, "A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself." Prudence is a quality that would help you to see how you could hurt yourself. Prudence is a quality where you could see how your behavior could hurt somebody else. So when you and I begin to develop prudence, we're protecting others as well as protecting ourselves from the potential of evil or wrong. So prudence is the ability to detect patterns of behavior in oneself that are contrary to the Word of God, patterns of behavior in others where they're going to hurt themselves. Parents, you and I, as parents, we need to be prudent. Why? So we could say to our kids, "Now be careful. If you go down that path, you get hurt." That's prudence. I don't think all parents have the heads up in life like they need it. And what I mean is, I met parents that are quite simple to the complexities of life. That parent needs to understand a little more the complexities of life. Why? So they can guide their children. See, a prudent person, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself." So in other words, a prudent man looks out, he sees the potential of the evil or the damage, he's going to protect himself, he's also going to help protect other people. The prudent man looks ahead and avoids what problems he can in advance. Can I tell you all something? I'm a firm believer in preventive maintenance. We're far better off fixing it before it breaks than waiting until it's broken to try to fix it. The prudent person says, "I better get that fixed up. If I don't, it's going to crash." The simple person, they go right into it and let it crash. And they may get it fixed, but God is saying, wouldn't it be better that you kind of seen it coming and you tried to keep it from happening instead of letting it happen and then try to sort out the broken pieces? The prudent man may not always know what the trouble is, but he speculates some on what troubles could come from certain situations. A prudent man plays it spiritually safe for everybody involved. the prudent one wisely calculates as much of the future as he can. So what is prudence? Prudence is some foresight. Prudence is a concern that there's something on the horizon that could hurt us, and I'm going to be careful not to hurt my Christian testimony, and I'm going to be careful with the people around me, and I'm going to try to protect their Christian testimony. So prudence has something to do with foresight. It has something to do with your being careful and looking ahead so that you're not hurt or so that other people are not hurt. And folks, wouldn't it be great if we would take the time to think ahead just a little bit and make sure we don't get ourselves into a bind, make sure that we don't get ourselves into a mess, and help the people around us to do the same thing. Secondly, prudence and wisdom, according to the Bible, are probably best friends. Prudence and wisdom, they hold hands in the Bible. Proverbs 8:12 says this, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The word dwell means live. So if there were an apartment complex, prudence and wisdom both live together in apartment 1A. They dwell together. They live together. They exist in the same package. They're a little bit like, you know, a pretzel. You know, pretzels twisted. Wisdom and prudence are twisted together, and they're one important quality. Prudence and wisdom live in the same dwelling. Now, that means this. If you lack wisdom, you probably lack prudence. If you lack prudence, you probably lack wisdom. The Bible would use this term, they're bedfellows. Prudence and wisdom get in the same sleeping bag, and they're one basically in the self-same, or they're interconnected. You say, well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is, I think, wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. If you have wisdom, you look at life the way God sees it. Prudence, then, is attached, and because you see life the way God sees it, you then have the ability to avoid the pitfalls that wisdom helped you to focus on. So if you've got wisdom, you're seeing it the way God sees it. Now that you're seeing it the way God sees it, you can maneuver through life, seeing it God's way, and avoid crashes, avoid pitfalls. Remember, I told you, a prudent man foreseeth evil, and he hides himself from it. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. Prudence is a benefit of wisdom, and that prudence then helps you to take the wisdom you've been given and protect yourself and protect others. Okay, so I said, number one, I told you what prudence was. Number two, I told you that prudence and wisdom were best friends. Number three, a prudent person, according to the scripture, is one that controls or disciplines their temper. Let me read to you. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. And that verse there is all about temper or wrath. And so, you know, temper and rage will blind one's prudence. Where it talks about wrath and temper and uncontrolled anger here, it says a fool's wrath is presently known. What's that mean? It means it's publicly found out. But it says a prudent person has learned to control their temper, therefore not revealing that weakness that will shame them. So if I lose my temper, my foolishness becomes known. Mrs. Owens sees it, or some bus worker sees it, or some deacon sees it. And to my knowledge, I've never lost my temper with a deacon, or I've never. You say, have you ever wanted to? But if I lose my temper, then my rage, my foolishness is presently known. It's been let out. But you see, the prudent person, they've learned to control their temper. Therefore, it says, but a prudent man covereth shame. You see, a prudent person says, I see I could hurt someone. I've got to control my temper. If I don't, I'll shame myself. I'll shame God. The prudent person, therefore, controls themselves and covers their shame. It means they then will not shame themselves. Prudence foresees then what tends to make you mad, or foresees what could make you angry, and then you tell yourself, I will be calm when that comes. Remember, wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. Prudence is acting upon that wisdom scripturally. In other words, then God said, a prudent person gets their temper under control. Why? Okay, and this is how you do it. I get mad if thus and so happens. So, I see thus and so coming. I better tell myself, here it comes. If I don't tell myself, here it comes, I'm going to lose my temper, shame myself, reveal my foolishness. I therefore see it coming. I say to me, here it comes, control yourself. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. And what have I've done? I've become prudent. Wisdom helped me see it. Prudence helped me to control what was coming my direction. And in regard to my temper, and so let me say to everybody in here, you ought to know what makes you mad. You ought to know what makes you angry, and you should be working on it. You should, when that issue comes up, you ought to say, uh-oh, this is that one that causes me to lose it. This is that one where I lose my temper. This is one of those incidents where I may shame myself. And prudence, then, is planning to control myself when I see that thing that flips my switch coming at me. I don't usually recommend that husbands and wives balance their checkbook together. That's not usually a good thing to do. You're probably better off letting one or the other balance the checkbook. You say, why? You say, well, are we not all supposed to love one another? Yes, we are. But a husband and wife go to balancing that checkbook together, and, you know, this time it's her fault that it's not right. The next time it's your fault that it's not right, but it can cause a war. But listen, if you say, well, we're going to balance our checkbook together, could I recommend then that wisdom makes you say, if we're going to do this together, I can't lose my temper because I will shame myself during this. That's prudence. Prudence is making a plan to control yourself because you have enough insight to know what flips your switches. So, we talked about what prudence is. We've talked about how wisdom and prudence are best friends. Prudence then is to help us with our temper or our anger. Next, a prudent person disciplines themselves according concerning confidential matters. I said a prudent person, they discipline themselves concerning confidential matters. Listen to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Prudent people are not, you ever heard the term blabbermouths? Is that, I don't know if that's proper English or if that even exists, but I've heard the term a blabbermouth. Prudent people are not the people that talk too much. Some people just tell everything they know. People who lack prudence talk too much. Let me give you some for instances. You go to buy a car. You don't want to tell the salesman how much money you have. You say, why? Because that's how much the car will cost. And may I say, whether it be the man or the woman, you know, if one of you go get a coffee, don't stand there and talk to the salesman and say, well, we've only got $100. And because he's going to say, well, I've got just the car for you. How much is it? $100. good salesman will try to pull it out of somebody, how much are we going to spend? So what am I saying? A prudent person learns how to conceal or to control information that should be confidential. Everybody here, you need to teach your children prudence when it comes to answering the telephone. You say, how so? Somebody calls. Your child picks up the phone. They say, is your daddy here? And your child says, no, he's in the bathroom. Well, really, you shouldn't have told them he was in the bathroom. And I know that's a silly illustration, but that is a lack of prudence. And when your child later learns to say, my father's busy at this time, and I'll let you know when he's available, or we'll get back with you. Okay, but let's face it, if dad's in the restroom, that's private, and nobody needed to know that. Prudence, it helps us to keep something confidential that ought to stay confidential. And to everybody here, not everything is everybody's business. Look, those of you that have bumps in your marriage, I'll tell you, you're not prudent when you go telling everybody about the bump in your marriage. That's not smart. So let me help you. You want to be prudent? Don't go on Facebook and tell everybody that you're mad at your husband or mad at your wife. Don't get to blogging or tweeting or chirping. I can't get it all right, but I know it's all out there. You don't need to advertise that to everybody. Hey, it's 10 times harder to fix a problem if everybody in the world knows about it. If it's not your business, you shouldn't be involved in it. And whatever you do, be prudent. Don't go talking about issues that everybody doesn't need to know about. I think that in regard to our marriages. I think that in regard. Hey, you just take. Let's say I was at a church preaching for them 4 or 5 weeks ago. Everybody look right this way. 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I don't know why, but I had been at one church and they told me about some problem there had been in another church. And I'm thinking, there's no way in the world church two would have never known about what was going on in church number one where they were having a struggle, except for somebody was a blabbermouth. Somebody was not prudent. The local New Testament church should deal with that local New Testament church's issues. And the truth of the matter is, not even the whole church has to be involved in every little thing that goes on. That's not wise. That's not smart. I tell you what I'd do if I were you. If you can't solve the problem, keep your nose out of it. You got everybody wanting to solve the problem. You know, sometimes there's only one that can solve the problem. But prudence is learning how to keep a matter confidential. There are people in life that could never pastor a church. I'll tell you why. They hear that somebody had a problem or somebody had an issue and they just tell everybody. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. I believe that someone ought to be able to get help from leadership, and leadership keeps confidential the matter. Why? The more people that know the matter, the more hurtful it becomes. It's never supposed to be that way. It's never supposed to be that you just ramble on with your words. So it says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools, it proclaimeth foolishness. Let me go on. Number five. A prudent person is one who they analyze or they investigate their own life. Their own life. You know, we're all real good at wanting to investigate somebody else's. But a prudent person investigates themselves. You remember when we take the Lord's Supper, you hear me say this. I'll say to you, now the Bible says that we should examine ourselves. Well, I'm supposed to examine Jeff Owens, and you're to examine you, and I don't need someone in the third row examining someone in the fifth row. You say, well, why? Because you got your hands full examining you. But a prudent person, listen to this verse. Proverbs 14, verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Hear those words? Understand his way. Let me recommend something to you that will help you to develop prudence. Know yourself. Study yourself. Face yourself. Don't lie to yourself. You remember the thing about rage or temper? I told you, you need to know what flips your temper switch. And if you know what flips your temper switch, wisdom helps you to see what's coming. Prudence tells you to get it under control so you don't lose your temper. Now, a prudent person is somebody that knows themselves. Let me show you what you ought to do. Instead of you checking everybody else out and trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody else, you ought to get a good grip on you. A prudent person analyzes themselves to a degree. If I'm going to be prudent, I'm going to ask myself, how have I spent my time? Have I been wasting my time? Do I get the most out of my time? Could I accomplish more with my time? A prudent person analyzes himself. Okay, about my money. Do I waste my money? Do I get the best out of my money? Am I doing things right with my money? Do I need what I'm about to buy? Is now the time to have it? We think ahead. Remember, wisdom, I look out. I want to see the way God sees it. Prudence, now I need to behave properly in regard to that wisdom so that I keep myself out of trouble. So I'm going to do that with my finances. I'm going to do that with my time. Oh, how about what are my limitations? Be careful making promises you can't keep. You know, I know some people that are very good-hearted, but they make promises all the time that they can't keep. And so, because they do not look at themselves realistically, they make a promise that they can't keep, and actually, their goodness mars their reputation. So, a prudent person looks at themselves and says, I have these weaknesses. Hey, you want to become prudent? Maybe you need to face it. You have a pride problem? Do you have a laziness problem? Are you undependable? Are you an excuse maker? Are you an exaggerator, which is akin to a liar? Are you a procrastinator? Are you a self-justifier? You can justify everything. You can figure out a way to justify everything. Know your weaknesses. Know your strengths. Now, other than studying the Bible, probably the most important study for you in life is you. Why? Because if I know me, then I can protect me from being evil. Hey, and then I can learn how to protect other people somewhere down the line. Because remember, prudence and wisdom, they go hand in hand. Wisdom gives me the insight. Prudence is how I behave in regard to that insight so I don't hurt myself and so I don't hurt somebody else. If I can get prudence, I can better control my temper. If I can get prudence, I can control my tongue so I don't talk about what is not my business, so I don't hurt myself and I don't hurt other people. Therefore, I've got to analyze me, and I've got to look at my weaknesses, and I've got to face my weaknesses. Then, being prudent means I am going to set up some barriers or some checkpoints with myself about my weakness. Folks, you and I aren't supposed to go around hurting people, and we do it because we launch into life without thinking about how our behavior is going to affect ourselves and affect other people. So prudence is getting that under control. Let me go on. A prudent person refuses to believe everything they hear. A prudent person refuses to believe everything they hear. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." What that's telling you is there are some people that just believe everything you tell them. Well, just so you all know, I don't believe everything I'm told. Matter of fact, I believe innocent until proven guilty beyond any shadow of a doubt. I've always believed that. Listen, do you know that not everything you hear is true? Not everything you hear is true. A prudent person knows that there are liars in life. They know that. Prudence teaches us to hear the whole story before coming to the conclusion of something. Somebody that lacks prudence will hear one little piece of an incident, and they will pass judgment and find someone guilty. But I've got news for you. There could be 10 other pieces of the story that makes a story turn out totally different. So prudent people, according to the Bible, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Prudence helps you to say, maybe there's something I don't understand about this. Maybe there's a piece of the puzzle that I've not seen yet. Maybe whatever's out there is not even true. Maybe what I just heard is a lie. Maybe there's just a misunderstanding. See, folks, you'll hurt a lot of people if you hear something and right away, it's the gospel truth. I'm very sorry. So I read it on the internet. Case in point, right there, buddy. Case in point. So, this subject of prudence. I've explained to you what prudence is. I told you that prudence and wisdom are best friends. Prudence will help you to control your temper. Prudence will help you to keep your mouth shut when there are things that don't need to be discussed. Prudence will cause you to analyze yourself so you can work ahead of your own weaknesses and cut them off so you don't behave evil, and it will help you to help others to do the same thing. A prudent person refuses to believe everything they hear. Now, a prudent person heeds reproof. They heed reproof. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. See, if you and I are going to develop this quality of prudence, when we're corrected, we take that correction very seriously. We don't pass the buck. When we're corrected, we say, now what am I supposed to learn out of this? How am I to become better because of this? Because it says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. See, a prudent person listens when they're warned. Hey, even if they don't understand, you warn someone that has the quality of prudence, they're going to listen, and they're going to be careful, even if they don't understand the warning. They're going to say, you know what, I was just told something. I was just warned of a danger, and I'm going to be careful of that danger. A prudent person respects someone who instructs them, but a foolish person despises it. Let me say to every last one of us, when the authorities in our life go to correct us, if we're always rejecting them, that puts us into the category of foolishness. But when authorities in our life go to correct us and we accept it, now we have the chance to be in the category of wise or developing prudence in life. Prudentless people have repetitive problems because they don't learn from the difficulties that have come in their life. Folks, when life corrects us, when our authorities correct us, when our boss corrects us, when our parents correct us, if we'll listen, we can develop prudence. And if you are prudent, you will listen. But if you're not, you'll be foolish. So, God even sometimes, you say, something happened to me. It may not have been mom and dad or a teacher or a boss. Maybe it's God. Maybe something come in your life and God was trying to get your attention with that something. Listen, don't reject that. Why? It will help you to develop this thing that's called prudence. Prudence. Let me go on. Number next. A prudent wife, I really believe, is a gift from God. Listen to Proverbs 19:14. I said a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. Proverbs 19:14 says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's how God put it. He said, boy, if you've got a prudent wife, that is a gift from God. Ladies, let me explain something. Ladies, women, they tend to be present thinkers. They're now thinkers. What do I want now? How does it affect me now? Ladies, you'll help yourself if you can add to your concern for now some concern for tomorrow and later. Prudence, remember, it's looking out, looking just far enough ahead that you can head off some issues. I know a lady who, and this isn't, I'm not saying this is indicative of all ladies, but I do know God is giving a little special attention to ladies developing that prudence in their life. I know a lady who, she's a good lady, she wasn't a bad lady, but when it came to planning for the future, she wasn't really worried about it. She wanted a new car now, she wanted a new house now, she wanted this now and wanted that now. I remember her husband saying to me, I don't know how we're going to make it in the future because we do have a future that we must attend to. He said, the things that my wife wants now are not bad things, but she has no concern about 10 years from now. You know what that was? It was a lack of prudence on her part. Oh, there's nothing wrong. You know, a nice house, a nice car, nothing wrong with any of that. But you got to remember something. You not only have to live in the now, there's a chance that you'll have a future that must be attended to as well. Prudence looks out and says, I see that some detours in life, I want to make sure that I plan to make it around or through those detours properly. And so, a man is liable to say to you, we're going to live in a tent, and we're going to walk instead of drive. And he is so futuristic, he's saying, well, we're going to have money out there. And you're thinking, we're going to starve today if you don't, you know, because you're saving for tomorrow. And the woman will say, I'm going to spend today, but I'm not worried about tomorrow. You know what they both need? Prudence. They both need a blend of the future and the present. And they need to look at what it takes to survive in life. But when God speaks of the woman here, again, Proverbs 19:14, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. I believe that God is saying, ladies, strengthen yourself beyond the now. Make sure you're wise enough to show concern about tomorrow and the fallout of your desires. I want to go on quickly. Next, a prudent person's knowledge will enable them to speak with some authority in life. If you can gather prudence, there will be an authority that's added to what you say and how people see you. Let me read this to you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 18, it says, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now, you crown a king. A crown is it comes with a position of authority. What it's telling you here is prudence gives you authority. It doesn't have to give you a position. It's just when someone has learned to be prudent, it's respected, people look up to it. People can look to prudence for leadership. Prudence looks out and says, here's what I think's coming. Here's how we'll handle it. You know what? It comes to pass. We're not talking about, you know, ESP or angel spoofle dust that's sprinkled all over the place. I'm talking about God gives someone some wisdom, and then that wisdom, they say, here's how I'm going to act because of it, and they help to maneuver through different scenarios of life to success. I'm going to tell you a story. There was a church. It was up in the Detroit, Michigan area. And the pastor, he had asked me, he said, Brother Owens, we're struggling financially at our church. And he said, I would really love it, he said, if you could help me. He said, could you look at our books and help me take just a little look at what's going on here? He said, what happens is, now this is back when, especially when the steel mills were running heavy, but the automotive industry in the Detroit area is very, very big. And he said, we have a difficult time with our finances here. And so I looked at their books, and here's what I discovered. I said, sir, how frequent are the contracts with the unions in the auto industry here? He said 4 to 6 years. I said, can you tell me what you think is happening? He said, we just constantly take these hits because when they go on strike, the income drops and my people tithing, we don't have money and we almost go under every time you turn around. I said, then why don't you do this? I said, why don't we change your budget to accommodate every 4 years the strike time? We're going to carry funds for 3.5 years that are extra to carry you through that 6-month possible union negotiation time. I said, because from all indications, you do fine for 3.5 years. You take a hit. You feel like you're going to close the church. You're standing up there telling everybody, you know, we're starving to death. We can't pay the bills. Finally, they renegotiate the contract. The money starts coming in. I said, from all indications, you've got about a 3 to 4 month gap. So we're going to take the money. We're going to take a percentage of your income each year, put it in a little pocket over here. That way, when that union contract comes due, you've got a cushion to carry you. And I'll promise you, your budget's going to stay even. He said, well, why didn't I think of that? Now, all it is looking just a touch out there to see what could come and deciding I'll do what I can to not let that destroy me or not let that destroy somebody else. That's why it's important with your temper. You got to get that under control. Why? You don't want to destroy yourself. You don't want to destroy somebody else. That's why you got to control your words. What you say. Why? You could destroy yourself. You could destroy somebody else. Hey, I would even recommend you destroy what you listen to. Why listen to something that you can't fix? What are we doing? We're prudent. We're looking out. And we're seeing the potential of harm. We're seeing the potential of failure. We're going to do what we can not to embarrass ourselves and do what we can not to embarrass other people. One of the hardest things I do as a counselor is if I could just get people not to be, if you could actually let people know what their weakness is, then they could build resistances. They could build walls for themselves so their weaknesses don't destroy them. But the big problem is you can't hardly tell people what their weaknesses are. They're too sensitive about it. They're too tender about it. You tell them their weakness and you'll make them mad at you. So what do? You preach it. You preach it and you just let it fall all over the place and you're hoping they pick up a little bit of it and someday they'll listen to the Holy Spirit that says, yeah, that's you, knucklehead. Because you tell someone one-on-one, you'll offend them, they'll get mad at you, and you're the stupid preacher that doesn't know anything. But I'll tell you this, if every one of us would face our weaknesses, we then could foresee what our weaknesses can do to us and to others, and we could plan or chart the course so we don't hurt ourselves and hurt other people. That's what prudence is. Now, one last point, and I'm done. Be careful not to think you're prudent when you're not. You want to be careful that you don't get to thinking you're prudent if you're not. Listen to the Bible. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21 says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Many people who think they are prudent are not. Be careful that pride doesn't control too much of your thinking. First of all, let me say about myself and everybody in this room, nobody is a perfect example of prudence. Nobody. Now, Jesus was. Everybody here has to constantly be working on your prudence. Children, you let mom and dad teach you prudence. Teenagers, let your parents teach you prudence. What happens is, young person, if you make a decision and you don't have the experience to see the fallout of that decision, you may make a decision on Monday, but you didn't know what would come on Tuesday because of it. You make a decision on week one, you didn't see what was coming at you on week two because of what you decided to do. So now you've hurt yourself or you'll hurt others. Your parents, if wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God, you know where God is? He's up above. God's got a pretty good perspective. I don't know. There are some men in here that have done some hunting. You get in a tree stand, you get up above, and you see better. God sees from a very unique perspective. Young people, mom and dad can see from an experience perspective that you don't have. They'll see days out, weeks out, whether you'll give them credit or not, years out. And they can say, listen, sweetheart, one of these days down the line, you're going to wish you'd never done that. They'll say, son, now listen, one of these days, you're going to look back and say, that was a dumb decision. If you'll let mom and dad help you, they can help you to see through their eyes and through God's eyes. They can help you through their experience to help you develop prudence in your own life. Remember, wisdom is seeing life the way God sees it. Prudence, then, is taking what God showed you and maneuvering through life so you don't hurt yourself and other people. Now, all of us need to work on developing our prudence. Again, Isaiah 5:21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. If you say, Brother Owens, I didn't need this lesson, I've got prudence, I would speculate then that you need to work on it a little more. I hope a bunch of you would say, I've got some of that, but not enough, because that's probably where we all need to land. About the time you think you got it, you have something blow up right in your face, and that God has a way of humbling us. Remember, here's what happened. Saul was down. Saul was depressed. Saul was frustrated as a leader. One of Saul's servants said, let me go get David. He said, well, why? They gave some of the qualities, but they said, because David is prudent in matters. So David was able to help Saul because he was prudent. And only that quality of prudence, David also ended up being the next king. Prudence provides promotion. Prudence limits damage to yourself and damage to others. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've heard the teaching. Let's be prudent in matters. Let's think before we act. Let's think before we listen. Let's think before we talk. Let's think, hey, think before you punish. Think, well, whatever. We've got to be prudent. This is a maturing thing. And I mean maturing in age, by the way, maturing in levels of Christianity. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, there's no doubt in my mind, I need a dose of what prudence is in my life. And you say, God has spoken to my heart. I need to work on that. I need to learn myself well enough that I react properly. And I excellent. And you put those hands down. Protect yourself. Protect the people around you. If you're, hey, parents, ask God to help you develop your prudence in life. It will keep your family out of certain situations. And not only that, it will help you to protect them and teach them to protect others. Those of you that are leaders at work, learn some prudence. You can foresee issues, and then you can help with some of that preventive maintenance opposed to breakdown maintenance. I feel sorry for pastors that are not working toward this thing called prudence. You don't have the most prudent pastor in the world, but I want to work at it. I'd like to see what issues are coming down the line, and I'd like to prevent some of them if I could. I mean, I can't prevent them all. The devil's far smarter than me, and he always will be. But at least I want to try to avoid pitfalls for the sake of our ministry. Business owners, what is prudence? It's seeing it God's way, then maneuvering through business based on what God lets you see. It keeps you from hurting yourself and hurting other people. We're going to have an altar call. You might just need to come to the altar and ask God to help you to develop your prudence. If you need a moment, you come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. prudence. It's wisdom. And then it's acting upon that wisdom in such a way to help yourself and other people maneuver through the hardship. Remember, prudent people are not gossipy people. Prudent people are not people that have constant temper tantrums, because a prudent person, foreseeing their temper coming, they did what needed to be done to harness themselves. Control that temper. Control your words. Control your ears. You analyze you. Figure out what your weaknesses are. Think about your weakness before your weakness kicks in. And maneuver around that thing. How am I going to detour around that issue? Prudent people don't believe everything they hear. Prudent people listen to reproof. A prudent wife is a gift from God. And remember, prudence will get you a certain amount of authority in life. Not as position, but the boss is usually one that kind of sees things coming down the road. He says, let's be careful of this, let's be careful of that. What's happened? He's got wisdom, and now he's maneuvering the business, he's maneuvering the shop, he's maneuvering the office through those tough times. And don't give yourself too much credit for too much prudence. That may be a big mistake. This is last time through the song.